Hi, I'm Ray. I'm an addict.
Straighten this up a little bit. Good morning. Welcome first all the newcomers here, and thank you for the opportunity I get to come up here and try and conduct a workshop. And I'm hoping I can kind of keep it like a workshop instead of a share. And if I had a tie, I'd loosen it. And if I had a long sleeve shirt on, I guess I'd roll up my sleeves and try and do some work. I qualify myself. I came into the program. I was out there for 33 years, you know, and I used drugs. And I put them in my body the quickest way you could put them in your body. And I came in the fall of 82 in the San Francisco Fellowship. And when I came in, you know, I feel pretty much had run my life, all my life at that time. And I think that's kind of what I want to cover. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about how fear really did, you know, control my life since I can remember. And sometimes still does, you know, because this is a real, real slow process for me. There's a conversion that's taken place for me over the last 7.5 years, I guess, I've been in the fellowship. And I'd like to talk about how that conversion did work for me and does work for me in using the steps, you know, how it is now. You know, how really slow the process is for me, converting over from fear and anger into, you know, faith and holding on to faith. And maybe give you a few decent examples and close and try and do that in about 20, 25 minutes, which is going to be difficult to me because I think one of my main addictions right now is talking, you know. And obsession anyway. I think that probably goes a little bit. Maybe I'm not the only addict that has that problem too. But the background, I think for me, and the tools that really work for me when I think about it, and I think about the NA program, I think about the fellowship, I think about working the steps, working with a sponsor, meetings. I even think about prayer. And everything boils down to me to, you know, communicating. It's like a common thread. And, you know, talking, one addict helping another. It's without parallel, you know, and it's all done through words. You know, I have a very effective sponsor I work with today, and every time we do some work, I'm sure a lot of you go through the same thing. It makes me break out a dictionary, you know, and let's look up this word, look up that word. Now, you know, I used to always think, hell, I always know what words mean, but I found out a lot of times it took on a whole new meaning when I pulled out a dictionary and started looking at what the words meant. So I want to do some definitions real quick and maybe refresh it. It did refresh my own memory when I did it, and I hope it helps a few of you. Fear. Anxiety over real or possible danger or pain. And I thought, well, anxiety, maybe I don't know what that means. So I looked up anxiety. Anxiety is an exaggerated feeling of apprehension about the future. You know, and I always got a kick out of that because everybody told me when I came to this program, you always, you know, if I got ahead of myself or behind myself, I always had one foot in the future, one foot in the past, and I was pissing on the present. I'm sure a few of you heard that. I started thinking about how those things affected me and how either when I act in faith or when I react in fear. I thought, what is act basically, or a thing done, or to do, is to act, to take action. So I looked up react, and this is what I loved. React, to act in return, to respond to a stimulus. And then the third one was to act with another substance in producing a chemical change. So everything started getting a little clearer for me as I tried to prepare for this. And then I looked up the last word, of course, the most important for me, was faith. And faith is an unquestioning belief, a complete trust or a reliance. So I started thinking about how I looked at those things and how I looked at fear versus faith, and it came down to one thing basically, and the only way I can make that conversion is to get me out of the way. You know, to get me out of here, man. Get me out of the way and open myself up. You know, and I looked at how fear had run my life initially. And you know, the fear, I guess, the original one for me was always that if I wasn't the way I was supposed to be, then I was going to be alone, either emotionally or physically or what have you. And I'm not going to turn this into some kind of lost child workshop, because that, to me, isn't what it is. But I looked at that and looked at how I got into my own drug use and what I was trying to cover up. And that was a fear of me. And the fear would convert into me doing anything I'd have to do, you know, to not feel like I was going to be left in the cold, which mainly was I couldn't be myself, because that wasn't going to be enough. And I'd do just about anything to compromise my own character, my own integrity, to make sure that was taken care of, that I was going to at least look like it was okay. I'd lie, cheat, steal, abuse people, intimidate people, manipulate people, do anything basically I had to do. And a lot of times anger came up for me with fear. You know, sometimes, I don't know how you feel, but sometimes if somebody scares me, if I'm walking across the street, a car pulls up or something, and it scares me, it throws me back, or I'm startled, it's like, I'm in the guy's face, you know? It's like, what are you doing? You know, I want to kick his ass, you know? I mean, anger, fear is anger to me. I mean, it just converts like that, you know? As soon as I get scared, you know, with a woman, with a man, you know, my child does something to scare me, I'm going to think about swatting his ass. You know, I mean, if he runs in front of a car or what have you, I mean, I'm worried about his safety a lot of the times, but a lot of times I'm also just reacting, you know, I'm going through that reaction again, I'm not acting, I'm not as centered as I want to be. So, you know, but a lot of times I'm just trying to, you know, my fear is just helping me trying to do something to avoid or escape some type of consequence. And I've had a long time to deal with that. You know, try and work through that. Now, the development of my faith when I first came into this program, and even before, I think my first, to go back to one other thing, I guess faith is where I have to kind of identify what my higher power was. And my first experience with a higher power was heroin, you know, and my addiction. My addiction gave me my first experience with a power greater than myself. You know, it might have been negative, but it was still a higher power. And I had to admit that in step one when I said I was powerless over my addiction. But it's still I could start to develop a concept of something greater than myself. You know? Then when I came into the meetings, you know, I remember how lost I was, how out of touch with reality I was, how really gone I was, you know, when I first got here. And I remember being at my first meeting. I remember being at the Henry Roloff House in San Francisco. And I remember sitting through there. I remember all the fear I had inside me, and but I was pretty whipped. And I remember at the end of the meeting, how desperate I was, because it made me want to sit down there, and I talked about my feelings, and I shared my pain and my fear about, like, this is it, and I got no place else to go, like we all did, like every one of you did when you came into the program. And I remember the relief that I started feeling for the first time, you know, in NA. And I remember people reaching out to me. I remember people, you know, telling me it's going to be okay, that that's the way it was for them. You know, I remember, you know, a lot of the things that I heard at that time, that, you know, to keep coming back, It was going to get better, man. It was going to be all right, you know. And I really didn't have much of a choice to believe them, because like all of us, you know, I was kind of in the same space we all were when we first came from. But I did feel better. I remember feeling better. And that gave me my second, more positive experience with a higher power, was with the fellowship, with the body, with a group like this today, where I can talk and, you know, be myself and it's okay. You know, and that's taken me a long time to do too. But it was, you know, where I got in touch with step two, you know, through the fellowship. You know, now I knew about addiction, I knew about powerlessness, and I came in here and I started restoring my sanity, you know. When I came here, you know, I had no faith in anyone, especially myself. I had absolutely no faith in myself, or I wouldn't have been trying to alter my character so much and be all these things that I knew I wasn't, and put so much energy and time into creating this facade. But as time passes, I guess, and I'm around all you people, and I continue to watch newcomers come in, and I continue to watch my own growth, you know, I guess I'm more and more in awe of all the miracles that are around us all. And, you know, that reinforces my own faith, you know, and it helps me believe that things are going to be okay for me a lot of the time, you know, and I slowly start turning my will and slowly start turning my life over to the care of God, you know, like in the third step. The process is real, real slow for me. You know, it doesn't work very fast at all. And I take it back a lot of the time. You know, I take it back a lot of the time, man. It's like even coming up here today, you know, I have to know that when I come up here, I get real uptight about speaking in front of groups. You know, it's really hard for me. And it's easier sometimes maybe in San Francisco in my own fellowship. But I come here and I don't know any of you folks, you know. And, you know, part of me gets a little scared and I want to look good and I want to sound good and what have you. But I guess what I've got to know is that what I'm getting up here today is what I'm getting is what I need to get. You know, it's got to be divine. It's got to be the way it is. And whatever I get up here is a lesson for me. As much as whatever I'm supposed to give you, it's kind of like I got to take care of myself, you know. And I got to believe that I am taking care of myself today. You know, I came to this program for a few years, and I was fairly active, you know. And then I started, a lot of things started happening for me in my life. A lot of things started coming together. And I kind of pulled away from NA for a while. I didn't quit all entirely, but I did pull away. And I wasn't active. I didn't go to very many meetings. I was very active in what I thought was raising a family and putting a career together. And a few years ago, that came to a real abrupt end. You know, I pretty much lost how I was creating what I thought was my security, and my marriage fell apart, and it was all very, very sudden and very surprising for me. And I know Dutch was talking about a divorce a little bit last night. I went through one that was kind of like continental. You know, my ex is quite a few thousand miles away, and I had my son with me. He was 4 years old at the time, and had no real family in San Francisco. And I remember, you know, I was scared shitless, man. I was holding on to everything I could. I didn't want to lose all the things I had put together over those 5 years. And, you know, I had a real hard time understanding that. And I was just scared. I mean, I used to think about that. And I mean, it may sound nuts, but there's times I thought, I'd look at the kid, my kid, every night he'd cry for an hour, man. He wanted his mom. And, you know, I mean, you know, he was messed up going through a lot of changes. I was messed up going through a lot of changes. Jesus. I mean, I didn't know what hit me. You know, I was sitting here just, you know, and I thought about a lot of crazy things. I even thought about suicide, you know, and I'd think, well, who'd pick him up in daycare? You know, how would that work? And I didn't want that to take place. And I had a real hard time, and I started getting into the, you know, I started talking with my sponsors, spending a lot of time in meetings and holding on to the fellowship. They're holding on to me, I think, was more than anything. I'd be holding on to them. It was a real, real beautiful experience for me. But, you know, I started, you know, in my prayer, my contact with my own higher power, I choose calling God. You know, that offends anybody. That's the way it goes. It's my time. You get yours up here. So, you know, I started trying to open up and trying to understand that there was some kind of a, you know, what's right for me isn't necessarily what I think's right for me isn't necessarily what's really right for me. And I proved that for the first 33 years, which was when I did try to run my own life. I didn't do a very good job at it. And I think I proved that toward in about the middle of my program when I started taking a lot of my life back, you know. So I think that I'm at a loss of words for a bit. It's hard for me to try to get out of my head and back into my heart again. And that's what I'm trying to do now. Instead of being a workshop, I'm just trying to get back into my heart. You know. How it is for me now, I guess, is that, you know, I'm willing to take anything that comes down the pike. I don't have to have control of any of it, you know. I open my eyes up, and I put my foot, one foot in front of the other. I live my life with integrity. I do the best I can, and I fully understand that there's a higher power controlling things for me on a higher level, and that what I got coming is exactly what I need. You know, my life today is much poorer, and I'm much more sensitive to people out in front of me. You know, I can believe and love people in front of me, And it's okay how they treat me. I still can love myself. But what's happening with my son, what's happening with me is all divine. There's a purpose for it all right now. And that I don't have to even know. I get a lot of comfort, a great deal of comfort in knowing one thing. That it's okay for me to go through the pain of a certain experience or to not understand a circumstance right now. It's okay. I don't need to know. And it don't matter when I know. The comfort is, someday I'll know why it all came down. And the comfort is that I will understand why things are happening to me today with the passage of time. Otherwise, it don't matter when the fog lifts. You know, I remember when I was going through the pain the first year trying to figure out what the hell I was doing with my life, how I was going to make an income. You know, the fear would have me running like that, man. I had no money. I had this little kid. I was in a dumpster. You know, I could always see myself like that in a dumpster. You know, I got this little kid with me, and I'd be scrambling through things, trying to find things like that. And I had to say, you know, I'm not there yet, man. And wherever I go, and that's where I'm supposed to go, there's a lesson in that. And I don't need to know where I'm going right now. I need to just do the best I can today. Open my heart to my higher power and get down there and just do the best I can. The fog will lift when it's going to lift. There's only one thing I need to know, and that the fog is going to lift. When the pain is so goddamn bad I can't see, when I can't get out of bed, when the program people come over to me and got to hold on to me, man, and just tell them it's going to be okay, man. You just don't use today. It's going to be okay. I got to believe that, man. I got to hang into my faith and open my heart to a higher power and know it's going to be okay. And it don't matter if it takes 6 minutes, 6 days, 6 months, 6 years. I got to believe it's going to be okay, man. You know, I got to believe it's going to be. The fog will lift when it's going to lift. And all I need to know right now, man, is that, you know what? It's going to lift and there's going to be another day of sunshine and Ray Brown's going to be okay. You know? And that's all I need to know, man. And I don't know it every day. I take it back all the time. It's hard to get my big 6'6" ass out of the way and let things start working, you know? Because I'm the one that blocks it all the time. It's hard to get down there and let go of that fear. But I know that when the fear is running, if I sit down and say, okay, I got to think of something pure, all right? I got to get the fear out of my head and think of something pure. Not to fix it, not to do anything else, but just to open my heart up and think of something pure, whether that's this program, whether it's the feeling I get standing in front of all you people, whether it's you know, my contact with truth or honesty or the way I run my life or whatever it is, but think of something pure, then the fear passes. Okay, it goes away. Then I go back into my life again. And when it comes up, I have to get back in that space and open my heart up and get back into that thing and say it's going to be okay. You know, and that's the way I deal with it today. And you know what? I deal with it the best I can. It's a slow process for me. Real slow. You know, I mean, on the curve, you know, it'd be this big old curve, I'm probably about here. You know, and I just keep working on it. All I can pass on to you is where I got so far. You know, and I'm very, very grateful to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm very grateful to be a part of this group. I'm grateful that I qualify. I really am. You know, and I love you all. And I thank you for the time.
Thank you, Ray. Okay, and our next speaker, her name is Brenda M., and she's from Oakland. Thank you. Hi, my name is Brenda, and I'm an addict. And I really needed to do this today. Ray asked me when I first got here if I wanted to go first, and I thought I was going to snap his head off. It's like, definitely not. I'm so goddamn angry, I don't know what to do. I need to sit down and dispel some of this shit. And so, I mean, you know, and that's what I can do today. I can sit down and focus in on me and make the connection with my higher power and then start to come out of that. You know, it's like I got up at 7:30 this morning. There was no need for me to be running as late as I was, you know. There was another person involved. And I've been around here long enough to know that I'm powerless over people, places, and things. You know, we got 3 cars. You understand what I'm saying? I could have got up at any moment and went on. But I sat there sat there and he's fiddling around, and the longer he fiddles, the angrier I get. You see what I'm saying? And so I did about 85 or 90 all the way here from Oakland. You know, endangering our lives. So all I had to do was get up. I got keys to every car we got. And take a car and come on. You know. But, you know, it's certain areas of my life that I still don't do so good in. You know, today I try to watch the language that I use, especially around my recovery. You know, most of my recovery I refer to my addiction or my behavior or my lifestyle as being sick. You know, and my understanding of sick is that when you're sick, then you'll get well. And my understanding of this disease is that there is no cure for it. You understand what I'm saying? So that you don't get well, you get better. So instead of identifying behavior or areas of my life as being sick, I simply say that I'm not doing so well in that area, and that area needs more work. Because I believe that the language that I use has an effect on what I believe. You know, I'm a believer in that today. You know, unfortunately, unlike Ray, I never prepare for stuff like this. You know, as a matter of fact, I was sitting over there getting kind of jealous. You know, he had did a little research and put a little something together. I said, maybe I'll be like that when I grow up. But anyway, you know, moving right along. Anyway, he touched on a lot of good points, and I could relate to a lot of what he had to say, you know, and I want to say thank you. Fear. Like Ray, for about 20 years, you know, I was out there. Actually, I came into recovery in June of 84. So actually, for about 34, 35 years, I had been running on fear. You know, when I first started to come around the program, you know, like all the cliches that they have around here, you know, neither does it, one day at a time, think, and all that, you know, around fear I heard, you know, that it was self-evidence appearing real. And I just accepted that as another cliche until I really started to do some work in my recovery. You know, and for me, on the other side of fear is anger. You know, and all my life, you know, where I grew up at and the situations and circumstances in my life, I couldn't show that I was fearful, or I would have been taken advantage of. You know what I'm saying? And I saw what happened to those people that got taken advantage of, and I wanted no part of that. You know, at a real early age, I was hurt real bad, overwhelmingly, you know. And somewhere, you know, I don't remember making a conscious decision, but somewhere in my subconscious, that little girl had been hurt so bad until a vow was made somewhere back then for that to never happen again. So I took fear and I flipped it over into anger. And then I stayed in that mode until I got here, and then after I had been here for a while before I could work through that. You see, I know today that I've always been a feeling and an emotional person. And because I grew up in a household that was dysfunctional, you know, my father was an alcoholic, and you know, and there was always a lot of violence and friction going on in my house. And I lived in Hunters Point in San Francisco. So there was violence in the house and there was violence outside of the house. You know, and with me being a feeling and emotional person, that affected me. And I couldn't allow people to know that that's what was happening, nor did I even know how. You know, I wasn't taught how. You know, those things were not done in my household. So that's the way I lived my life. It's like the angrier I got, I felt that was the tougher that made me. You know, it's like in dealing with that anger that I had, you know, that was really fear, it allowed me to do a lot of things that I couldn't have normally done. You know, it took away that, along with the lifestyle that I lived. You know, there were no morals, no values, no principles, no nothing. You know, real dog eat dog, you know. And that was comfortable for me, because I didn't have to give up nothing. None of me anyway. You know what I'm saying? As long as I could keep it out there, that was fine. You know, when I got into treatment, I had had a knot in my gut for so long until I was afraid to let it go. It's like that had become my best friend. That was all that I knew. If I let that go, then what's going to happen? What's going to be there? I was also one of those kinds of persons that it was important that I knew what was around the corner, what was up the street. You know, I needed to know so I could prepare for that. You know what I'm saying? So, as long as I could stay angry, there were no feelings, no part of me invested. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I went into treatment, and there are a couple of people in this room that were in treatment at the same time that I was. You know, I wore this look on my face. You know, they called it the penitentiary look. You know, I spent a lot of my time locked up, a lot of my life locked up. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't fuck with me and I won't fuck with you look. You don't have to say nothing. All you have to do is get that look. I wore that. You understand what I'm saying? But I wore it out of fear, because I didn't want you to get too close to me. You know, I can remember most of my life, you know, and that was like my secret. You know, most of my life, periodically, you know, I have this real, real strong need and urge to be close. But I was so fearful of what went along with that. It's like, no happens. You know, so what I'd go out and do is I'd find, look around amongst the other, dehumanized people that I hung out with, to see which one that I could monitor in terms of being there. You know what I'm saying? Because it definitely had to be monitored. You know, I had to put you under the microscope. And then you could only get in so close. You know. When I got into treatment and I started to, first of all, I had a fear of dealing with that anger. You know, because I felt like if I dealt with that anger, that I was going to go absolutely crazy. I felt like I was going to go over the edge, or that I was going to lose my mind. And I probably would have lost my mind, but not in the sense that I thought, but lost that mind that I didn't need anyway. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, and I know this stuff today, which I should have, you couldn't have told me that back then. You know, so, at any rate, I started to dealing with that anger with the help of a therapist. You know, and I had along with that, I had no trust level. I mean, I didn't trust myself, so I certainly didn't trust you. You know, and that was the bottom line on that. So, but you know, trying to be a part, or my recovery didn't start, as a matter of fact. I stayed clean, but until I could put that in place, and I didn't know it, it was like a feeling that I had that something was wrong, something was missing, something was not happening, something was not coming together here, and I thought I was doing all the right things, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, like Ray mentioned earlier, a lot of times you think you know what it is, you know, that you need to do, or you think that what you're doing is the thing that you should be doing, and it's not. You know what I'm saying? You know, but I guess to make a long story short is that I didn't realize that I needed to trust you in order for the recovery process to start. I had no idea how important of a part that trust plays in recovery from anything. You know, let alone drugs and alcohol, which is a whole lifestyle, you know. So, you know, it's like I could deal with people at a distance, and when they would start talking about things too close, I had to go somewhere, I had to do something, I had to get away from that and regain my composure. You know, because along with all of that went an image. So, you know, you got all these, it's like juggling. You understand what I'm saying? You got all this mess going on. You know what I mean? You got image, you got anger, you got mistrust, you got all this like juggling and trying to stay clean, you know. And I was in a long-term recovery program that was a confrontive program. But I was so angry, and I wanted to say that way. I was so angry, people really didn't want to confront me. It's like, who wants to deal with that crazy bitch? And I wanted it that way. I thought, you know. Anyway, I have what I choose to call a revelation. You know, my higher power, who I choose to call God. That's what's important and necessary for my life. And that was, I couldn't do this alone. You know what I'm saying? That there had to be someone, and there had to be someone that I couldn't, you know, that I wasn't going to put the monitor on. So what I did, what worked for me, was that I still didn't have the trust for people. But who I felt like I could trust was God, my higher power. And that's where I made my connection. That's where faith came into play in my life. Well, because, you know, it's like I knew that God wasn't going to burn me. I knew he wasn't going to die on me. And I knew he wasn't going to mess over me. That was, you know, that's what I felt. You know, you wasn't going to do none of those things. People will die on you. They'll go away. They'll move. They'll, you know, and at that point in my life, I couldn't handle it. You know, it's like I was just starting to come out of a lot of that madness, that fall, that people label it a lot of different things. But anyway, I started to have faith and a blind faith. You know, I had gotten to the point to where it wasn't necessary, as Ray mentioned earlier, for me to know what was going to happen. You know, I can remember, I went into treatment from out of the county jail. And I can remember when I was getting ready to go there, I was sitting on the side of my bunk and I was saying, now, you know what, I'm going to go up in this program and I'm going to do X, you know, I'm going to go from A to Z and I'm going to do this program right and I'm not going to use, you know what I'm saying, and I'm going to, you know, the All-American Dream, you know, I'm going to get well, I'm going to get me a job, I'm going to get my kid back, I'm going to get me a house, I'm going to get me a car, and I'm going to live happily ever after. You know, the typical All-American Dream. And I guess that about 3 months into treatment, into being clean, because treatment really hadn't even started at that point, into being clean, it hit me. You attempted to try that once before, and that didn't work. But it's going to be any different this time. You know, because this had been my second time into a program. And I got real scared, you know. And what I learned about myself at that point is what fear does for me, and I guess that's why I covered it up so well, was that it paralyzed me, you know. It overwhelmed me to the extent to where I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't move. But at that point, in my life, that was a good thing because it kept me from even running away from the situation. I just kind of hung out. You know, and I could listen to and take in the information that was being given, but I couldn't use it. I couldn't even begin to use it. You know what I'm saying? And so I wanted, you know, I was right there on that borderline, you know, where you really want help, But you're scared, you know, that you got all these skeletons in your closet, and you're going to have to reveal all of that. And it's like, I don't even want to go through that. You know, I really don't want to deal with that. I was afraid of it. You know what I'm saying? And so, what happened, like I said, I started to believe and trust in God. And small little, what I choose to call miracles started to happen. You know, I started gradually opening up. I made one friend, first of all. Close friend that I didn't monitor. You know what I'm saying? And that felt pretty good. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's like I always had that one eye on her. Like, you know, when is it going to happen? You know, when are you going to do it? And it never did. You know, and it never did. Then there were other things that, I mean, you know, that were going on in my life that I really needed to talk about, and that trust level came up again. It's like, even with her, I could only go so far. You know, and by the time I got to recovery, or to a recovery program, I was on overflow in terms of feelings. You know what I'm saying? So I needed to really get rid of a lot of that stuff. And like I said, in this program I was in, I acted so ugly until people didn't even, it's like, not her. You don't really want to deal with her. But anyway, like I said, I finally got to a point to where it wasn't important that I knew that was up the road or around the bend. You know, I started to, first of all, trust myself. Trust the fact that I could make a healthy, conscious decision. You know what I'm saying? And so what if the decision that I made didn't work? The world wasn't going to stop and I wasn't going to die. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had my support system was dynamic in terms of people giving me information and that whole thing. You know, and what I also came to know at that time was that if you make a decision and it turns out not being the best one, you go back to the drawing board. Simple as that. You know what I'm saying? And come up with another one. You know, real simple shift that I had made complex all my life, I was able to start seeing and using. And so things that I had put a lot of importance on, you know, it's like, who knew what about me? You know, I'd gotten to the point where I don't give a damn who knows this shit. I need to get it up off of me and like right now. You know, I don't care who knows. So maybe it'll help somebody. You know, sometimes I may go to a meeting and I hear people say something about, you know, confidentiality being broken. What I shared in this meeting, I heard some, you know, I don't give a damn. You can go tell this shit that I tell you on the mountain. I don't care. I really don't care because what I'm about, what I come here to do, is to get some help. See, I come to meetings to keep from having to be that real hateful, evil, angry, angry person that I was when I drove up. And I didn't get to be that way overnight. So I don't want you to think for 1 minute that those things don't still happen. But they don't happen as frequently as they did. You understand what I'm saying? The one thing that I learned real early in my recovery, and that was, is that character defects do not go away. You know what I'm saying? They resurface with different situations, you know. And as they come up, I continue to deal with them, you know. When I come to meetings, I come to meetings to listen, to learn how to live. I don't trip so much on using no more. And that's not that don't take for 1 minute that I'm standing up here saying that I'm well or I'm cured. It's that I believe that as long as I continue to live, I won't want to use. See, all my life I survived. And when I started in my recovery, I learned how to live. And there's a big difference. You know, living is feeling and being a part of, you know, making decisions and doing a lot of other things. Surviving is just that. Everything is done on impulse, you know, on a spur of the moment. So today I've learned how to live, and today I know what happiness is. See, when I grew up in here, I thought happiness was packs full of money, much dope as I could get, material kinds of, tangible kinds of things, you know, and through this fellowship and me participating in my own recovery, I learned that happiness is from within, and happiness is a feeling. You know what I'm saying? And as long as I continue to come to meetings and get the information on how to continue to live, then I continue to be happy, and I can continue to stay clean. You know what I'm saying? Because my addiction was not the problem. No way. It was only a symptom of the problem. You know, I know that today. You know what I'm saying? So it's important that I keep those things in mind. It's important that I have faith in myself, in my higher power, in people, other friendships that are in my life, in my family. It's important that I have faith, because for me, trust goes along with faith. Because I can't have faith in you if I don't trust you. You know, so all of that's important, you know. God ain't finna come down here and talk to me, you know what I mean, sitting down on no lightning rod or no burning bush or nothing like that. He talks to me the way I'll understand, that's to other people. You know, I don't want him to scare me to death. You know what I'm saying? And so it's my responsibility to get to those places or to be where I'm supposed to be, to get the information that I need. That's my responsibility in my recovery. It's not your responsibility to bring it to me, mail it to me, you know, call it to me over the telephone. It's my responsibility to get up off my behind and take care of my recovery. That's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to get the nurturing that I need to keep the trust and the faith that it takes to work this program. You know, to be responsible, to do the things that I need to do. I just did something this week that I'd never done last year, even. I resigned from a job. And I can remember when I was somewhere between a year and 2 years, right in the middle of it. I was unemployed for 2 months, and you talking about on a dry drunk, or, you know what I mean, just crazy or insane, you know. All the behavior, I just didn't put the chemical in my body. And today, I mean, last week, I mean, or this month, I didn't go through that. I didn't go through that. Today, I know who I am, and I'm confident in that. You know what I'm saying? And that's because I have trust and faith in myself as well as my higher power, you know, and I try to keep a spiritual connection, you know. And I know that I'm skilled. I know I'm good at what I do. And I know if you let me in the door on the interview, I'm going to sell myself. Period, dot, the end. If you let me in the door, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get what I go after. You know, I remember somebody said to me when I was early in the program was that, you remember how hard, you know, how hard or how much energy you put into getting loaded? And you see, because I don't know about for y'all, but for me, every day that I got up, if I had been to bed that night, there was no doubt in my mind that I wasn't going to get fixed. I was going to get fixed. I was going to get a bail, receive one. You know what I'm saying? There was no doubt. You know, so if I take that same attitude and apply it to my recovery, put that same energy into my recovery, I can't help but become out of winner. You know, because I truly believe that for every negative, there's a positive. For every negative, there's a positive. You know, if I could turn you out your money or talk you out of whatever when I was using, I could take that same gift to Gab and use it in a positive manner. You know, all the energy that I put into doing whatever I did, that energy didn't go away or die. I still got it. But if you can't use it for me, I got to use it for myself. If I come around here and just sit around meetings and don't partake, I ain't gonna get nothing but a seat. It's important that I work the steps, that I read whatever I need to read. It's important that I get on the phone and I reach out, you know. See, oftentimes people like me that work in the field, I work in the field of treatment, substance abuse, chemical dependency, whatever you want to call it. You know, and so I deal and I talk a lot about recovery. So oftentimes people like me, we would think, well, I don't need no meeting because, boy, I've been bombarded with that shit today. You understand what I'm saying? And I got right on that edge. You know what I'm saying? I do. When I come here, this is my recovery. My job is my job. It's somebody else's recovery. And I got to remember that I got to separate those two. That if I don't, I'll go to work and put my shit off on my clients. That's unhealthy and for me and them. You know, I have to remember that. That when I come here doing things like this is for me. You know. Now, if I take it back and share it with somebody, then fine. The other thing that I have to remember, and that's important, is that my recovery is my recovery, and I can't measure it by yours or yours or yours. I have to do what works for me. That's so important. You know, oftentimes we may see Betty or Jack or whatever, or they're working a dynamite program. And you go and you try to do some of the things that they do and your ass will go straight on back out there on them streets. You know, I've seen it happen many, 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 many times. You know what I'm saying? Everything you see is not always what it is. You know? And I need to remember those things. I may hear a person share, and something that they share, I may be able to relate to, and I'll go up and I'll talk to them afterwards or get their number and call them or whatever. You know? And if I can use that, I can. But because it works for you don't necessarily mean that it's going to work for me. Or because it works for me don't necessarily mean that it's going to work for you. You know? I was told when I first got here to find what works for you. You know? And that's what I've been doing. You know, I've come a long, long, long way. You know, like I said, I resigned from that job before securing another position. And that's because today I have the trust and faith that I didn't have a year ago, or 2 years ago, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I believe that my higher power, who I choose to call God, have not helped me this far to let me go. You know, I believe that. Today, I know that when I get real angry, that there's some fear behind it, just like the anger that I experienced this morning. I wanted my husband to be here with me and be a support to me, so I waited. And as a consequence of that, we ran real late. You know, and I ended up getting real angry. I mean, I was furious. You know, so when I get real angry like that, I kick back, chill out, and figure out what's underlying there. Because you just don't get real angry like that and ain't nothing happening. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I sat here and I prayed, and, you know, and it's real important for me to talk to my higher power, especially before I share, because I don't ever want to get up here or nowhere else and make any of this sound grandiose. Because being involved in your recovery is hard work. It's hard work. If you think that you're going to come here and go to meetings and write the steps, talk about the steps, raise your hand and just talk in a meeting, and that's going to be all it is, you might as well get on up and go on back out there now. You're going to feel. You're going to feel. Sometimes it's going to be pain, and sometimes it'll be joy, but you're going to feel. You know, I used to hear people in meetings when I was a newcomer say, oh, it just feels so good today to be able to feel. And it's like, you got to be nuts, all the pain I'm sitting over your ear. But I understand it today. Okay. I want to welcome the newcomers, and I just want to say that to just wrap this up is that, you know, for the newcomers, you know, fear is a flip side of anger, you know, in order to recover, to be a part of your recovery as opposed to just staying clean, you got to trust and you got to have faith, you know. Pain is mandatory, but suffering is optional. So you're going to go through some pain. Pain is mandatory in life, not just because you're an addict or whatever. You know, it's mandatory in life, and I know that today, you know. But I also know that one thing that you got to do is you got to trust, you know. Where you start at is on you, you know. I started with my higher power, and that works for me, might not work for you, you know. I want to thank you for letting me share, because this works for me, too. Let's give Brenda and Ray another hand.
I'd like to thank you guys for coming out to the meeting, and right now we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer.
Still suffers in and out of these rooms. Whose father?